Greetings. This is Why's That? I'm Sevilla Mann. Each month, Why's That answers a question you send us. Has something in Southwest Michigan caught your eye? Let us know at our website, WMUK.org. That, of course, is a snowplow. It's working a sidewalk at Western Michigan University. It's easy to see snow as a nuisance when you're always trying to remove it. But perhaps a look at the science of snow can restore your sense of wonder. Maria Druyar of Kalamazoo wants to know, why is it that the texture of snow varies so much from powdery to damp? In other words, what makes snow wet or dry?
That's a really great question.
Todd Ellis is with Western's Mallinson Institute for Science Education. He teaches weather and climate instruction. It's all made of water, but Ellis says snow can be wetter or drier. It all depends on how many inches of snow you can get from 1 inch of water.
And an average, I would say, for around here and most of the eastern seaboard would be about 10 inches of snow per inch of water.
10 inches of snow might seem like a lot for 1 inch of water, but in a place like Colorado, where Ellis was a grad student, you could get much more.
You could get almost 30 inches of snow out of that same inch of water.
Ellis says that's helpful for the ski resorts. But why is some snow less moist than other kinds? Ellis starts with the clouds, where snow crystals grow. Every cloud is pretty damp, but the moisture does vary by a few percentage points, and the temperature varies too.
So if you're on the dry side of that and you're on the cold side, you know, well below 0 degrees, Fahrenheit, you can get these really fine crystals.
But if a cloud is relatively warm, and more importantly, on the moister side, it can grow dendritic snowflakes.
These are the ones that everyone makes in kindergarten by cutting out the 6 sides and making the really fancy shapes.
And those are just 2 kinds of snowflake. Ellis says besides the fine crystals and the dendrites, you'll find lots of other shapes.
There's a whole series of diagrams that people have mapped out trying to figure out the different combinations of temperature and humidity that cause different shaped crystals to form.
The shape of a snowflake can play a big role in how powdery or wet the snow becomes. That's because some crystal shapes easily gather moisture or melt a little on the way down, and then they stick together, creating a wetter snow. Ellis says fine snow crystals tend to resist melting, but it's common for dendrites.
They're really susceptible to that kind of melting because they have all these appendages that are very easily melted. As the air temperature gets pretty close to freezing, they can start to melt on their own.
The dendrites are also just big, which makes it more likely they'll bump into each other and stick. Ellis says right around freezing, snowflakes can change a lot as they fall.
Believe it or not, the actual process of freezing gives off its own energy. It gives off something called a latent heating, which can momentarily actually melt snowflakes nearby. So it's just, there's lots of little things when you're right near freezing that can cause the phase change to go from solid back to liquid and liquid back to solid.
So, powder snow really is drier than wet snow. There's no single wet or dry snowflake shape, but some crystals, like the dendrites, are more prone to melting and clumping as they fall. Todd Ellis and I have been talking at his office at Western's Wood Hall. Now it's time to go outside.
Yeah, there's maybe 2 inches or so of snow.
With a bare hand, Ellis scoops up some flakes.
I'm going to affect them by touching them a little bit, but you know, I spread them out on my black coat sleeve, and I can see in there, there are definitely some dendrites in there.
He then takes the obvious next step, forming this handful of decently well-packing snow into a ball.
I would definitely have thrown this at a student, probably, at some point during class if I were still in class, but that's why it's probably better that I'm not in class right now.
Probably deserves to be thrown at something, though.
I guess I could throw it at the building. I don't know. This isn't personal, President Dunn. Just...
Hey, got it.
Yeah, good enough to leave a mark.
Why's That? We'll be back next month to answer another question about life in Southwest Michigan. tell us what in the region has caught your attention at wmuk.org. For WMUK, I'm Sibylla Mann.